Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, please. I have a very important question for you. If you die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Well, God gave us a standard to see how we'd fare on that judgment day, called the Ten Commandments. If you ever told a lie, you'd be seen as a liar. If you ever stolen anything, you'd be seen as a thief. If you ever looked at somebody with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart and you'd be seen as an adulterer. If God used that standard to judge us, we'd all be found guilty and face an eternity in hell. But there is a different option for us, for God sent His Son, Jesus, who died on the cross and bared our punishment for us on the cross. He died and was buried and rose again 3 days later. So we must believe in Him and repent, and we'll have everlasting life in heaven. Thank you very much.
My friend has talked about the forgiveness that is offered through Jesus Christ. And I just want to take a moment to further explain, who is this Jesus that we're talking about? Who is this one that is offered to forgive us of our sins and grant us the gift of everlasting life? In the book of Colossians, it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who are alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So who is Jesus Christ? And what is it that Jesus Christ has done for us? Jesus Christ is eternal. He always has been, He always will be. In the Gospel of John, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. He came into the world 2,000 years ago, fully God and fully man. He was born of a virgin, and He lived a perfect and sinless life, the kind of life that you cannot live, the kind of life that I cannot live, or ever could hope to live. And while Jesus lived in this world, not only did He live a perfect and sinless life, but He is one who came to set captives free. He is one who came to give recovery of sight to the blind. He was the one who came and reached out to the lepers, who reached out to the outcast of the world, the outcast of society. He was the one who in His very essence demonstrated the love of God. In everything He said, everything He did, He demonstrated and put the love of God on display, and He put forth the qualities and characteristics of God to display for all of us to see. So if we ever wonder what is God like, we can look at Jesus Christ and see what God is like, see who God is like. We look at Jesus Christ, the one who healed the sick and raised the dead, the one who spoke and the very storms calmed and the seas and the winds and the waves settled down. All of creation was obedient to Him for one reason, because He is the creator and sustainer of all things. The Bible says that all things were made through Him, and in Him all things hold together. That He is the one who's created everything. He's the one that created each one of us. Our very breath has come from Him. All that we have has come from Him. And now the question is, this Jesus, and who He is and what He's done, how have we treated Him? How have we responded to Him? How have we shown our gratitude for who He is and what He's done? Well, my friend just shared the fact that what we've done is we've sinned against God. Instead of appreciating who He is and all that He's done for us, and being grateful for who He is and all that He's done, we've lived in rebellion against Him. My friend talked about the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, and how we all violate those commandments with our lives. If we lie, we're liars. If we steal things, we're thieves. If we look with lust, we're adulterers at heart. If we have anger or hatred in our hearts, God says that He sees us as murderers. He said, well, yeah, but my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, so I'm fine. In the book of Isaiah, it says that all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags in the sight of God. That means that all the good things we do before God are nothing but disgusting in His sight. Now, why is that? Because if I was to leave here and go rob a bank, and I was arrested and stood trial, what if I said to the judge, I know that I robbed a bank, Your Honor, but that day that I robbed the bank, I also did 50 good deeds. The judge would say the 50 good deeds are irrelevant to the crime that you committed, and that is what you're on trial for here today. All of the good things we could ever hope to do to earn our salvation are meaningless because we're guilty criminals in the sight of God. But the good news of the gospel is that even though we're guilty of breaking God's moral law, even though we're lawbreakers in the sight of God, even though we deserve the full weight of the wrath of God, even though we deserve eternity in hell, God loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And what happened when Jesus died on the cross was He took your place. He took my place. All the punishment and the wrath that we deserve, He took it upon Himself because He loves you that much. That He wanted you to be able to be forgiven of your sins and have everlasting life. But to do that, God had to deal with our sins. You say, but I believe in a loving God. So do I. But again, let's go back to that judge that I talked about a minute ago. What if somebody stood trial, they were guilty of rape and murder and horrific crimes, and the judge said to that person, because I'm a loving man, I'm going to dismiss your case. Not only would that not be right, that would not be loving. A loving judge cannot turn his eye to lawbreakers, and neither can a holy and loving God turn a blind eye to the sins of the world. God must deal with our sins, and He dealt with our sins in the person of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross, a legal transaction took place. We broke God's law, and Jesus paid our fine in His life's blood. So that now God can pour out His wrath upon Jesus Christ for your sins and for my sins. The Bible says God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so when Jesus died on the cross, God took all of your sins, all of my sins, and put them on Jesus Christ. And now in exchange, God offers to take the righteousness of Christ and apply it to you. Now what must you do for that to be true? To repent of your sins, to turn away from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you. To not trust in your own good works, because our good works don't amount to anything, but to trust in Jesus Christ alone, to surrender our lives to Him. I read from the book of Colossians where it says that so that in everything He might be preeminent. And today my friend and I have come here willing to look like lunatics to tell you about Jesus Christ and what He's done for you and what He's willing to do for you in forgiving you of your sins and granting you everlasting life. The Bible says that Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And because that is true, you owe it to yourself to think about what that claim is, to think about what we're telling you today. We're not here to ask you for money. We're not here to ask you to join a church. We're simply encouraging you to run to Jesus Christ, the only one who can forgive you of your sins, the only one who can grant you everlasting life. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. He is the one who died in your place, but more than that, who rose again on the third day. He rose from the dead, forever defeating death, and He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says that He will come again at a time of the Father's choosing. Now, when Jesus comes back again, He's not going to come as the baby born in Bethlehem again. The Bible says when Jesus comes again, He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will come to judge the living and the dead. And so our question for you is, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before a just and holy and loving God who will demand an account of our lives? You don't have to fear that day. You don't have to worry about that day. Because if you repent of your sins, turn away from your sins, and surrender your life to Jesus Christ, put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to save you, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed and grant you the gift of everlasting life. And so please just say, just think about what we've told you. If you have a Bible at home, please go home and read it. Read the Gospel of John and see if what we're telling you is true. And if it is, today, this day, get alone with God and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've rebelled against You. Please forgive me. I trust in Jesus Christ alone to save me. And give your life to Jesus Christ this day. May God bless you. Thank you so much for letting us interrupt your time. Have a wonderful day and a blessed weekend.